How would you like to discover why that gut cleanse you saw on Instagram could land you in the ER? And what nobody tells you about safely detoxing from parasites, heavy metals, and chronic infections. Dr. Kate Davis will tell us about that. She's a functional medicine doctor who helps women overcome chronic gut issues such as constipation, bloating, IBS, and acid reflux. And after personally battling chronic gut symptoms for nearly a decade, Dr. Kate discovered that a massive parasite infection was at the root of her own health indigestion. And that experience became the foundation for her work and deepened her understanding of how frustrating, confusing, and exhausting chronic gut problems can be. And as a gut sufferer myself, I am very interested in this conversation. So, Dr. Kate, tell us about why that gut cleanse you saw on Instagram could land you into ER, because I mean, I've been looking at TikTok and I get inspired sometimes from gut cleanses on TikTok. And even like this week, I was thinking, okay, what should I try? Should I try papaya seeds, garlic, like a coconut charcoal, pills? What should I try? And of course, it's all very empirical, like based on the stuff that I saw on TikTok. I don't have like a protocol. So tell me about why that is actually a dangerous way to deal with your gut.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I mean, when you just jump on a random cleanse, you don't really have an idea of what's going on in your body, right? Like, you don't know, can my body even handle a detox? And that's always my first question with people is, can your body actually handle removing all those toxins that have been stored in your system for, years or decades? And so, especially with parasite cleansing, a lot of people don't realize, but when you kill off parasites in your body, they actually release a bunch of toxic waste into your system. And if there's nowhere for those toxins to go, if you don't have good drainage pathways, so good gut, gallbladder, and liver function, then you can't actually get those toxins out of your body efficiently. And then they'll just start wreaking havoc on other organ systems. So some people might get flu symptoms. Some people might get gallbladder attacks and have to go to the ER. And I've heard that from several people who've reached out to me on Instagram because I talk a lot about parasite cleansing on my page just because of my own story. And it's really important to do it safely. And so what I always tell people is there is a certain way that toxins get out of the body. And it's not just toxins we're exposed to, it's waste that our cells produce on a daily basis. That's also something that has to get out of our body, right? Like, we've got this sewage system in our body and needs to go somewhere. And hopefully it goes out the toilet. Hopefully you're, going to the bathroom 2 to 3 times a day. You have good liver function. So basically what happens is organs, tissues, cells, they send all the waste through your lymphatic system, which is like the sewage system in your body. It's going to bring all that to your bloodstream. And then the liver is going to be the first organ that pulls those toxins and those waste products out of the blood and kind of cleans your blood for you. And it's going to send that waste to the gallbladder. The gallbladder is going to dump it into your gut and it should go out in the toilet. So you should be having, 2 to 3 healthy bowel movements a day. You should have good liver function, good gallbladder function. And if you do have that good organ function, then you can safely remove parasites. But the problem is that most people who start a parasite cleanse do it because they have gut issues. And that's like the bottleneck in those drainage pathways of getting toxic waste out. If you have leaky gut, if you're not pooping every day, if you've got a lot of inflammation in the gut lining, maybe you have really loose stool, really toxic gut already, and you just start throwing a bunch of toxins more into that system, it's going to really mess you up. And so I've heard, so many different horror stories from people who have been like, "Oh, I'm so glad I found your page. One of my friends tried to detox, ended up with migraines and now she's suffering," or, "I ended up in the ER." And so you hear this stuff a lot as a doctor, but it's easy to, like you said, see something on TikTok and say, "You know what? I think I want to try that. That sounds like a good idea." But, understanding the order that toxins get out of your body is really, really important, and the order that you need to heal in is also incredibly important.
So tell me about the protocol that someone should follow. Is it based on their own custom microbiome, or is it based on like a standard protocol that you follow? Because I saw I'm following this gut lady on TikTok, and she talks about how first you need to use binders to kind of prepare your body for the kind of toxins that you're going to release when parasites are going to be killed. And then you kind of start your parasite cleanse protocol, and then I think you do binders again and so on. So tell us about the right way to do this. And is it a custom kind of protocol, or is it a standard protocol?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a fan of, customized, individualized care plans for people. So obviously I work with gut issues primarily. So I treat constipation, IBS, acid reflux, bloating, all those issues. And the biggest thing that, well, I usually am a big proponent of an individualized care plan because, everyone's different. Everyone's body's functioning differently. Everyone has different infections, different toxins in their body that need to be dealt with, different liver function, different gallbladder function, or maybe no gallbladder if you got your gallbladder removed. And then you also have to consider, there's so many things going on in the body. The whole body's interconnected. So even if you're treating gut issues, you've got to look at liver function, gallbladder function, even brain function. There's that huge brain-gut connection. Hormones, stress, that can influence a lot of gut issues as well. And so there's this whole picture that you need to look at. And that's where, I think functional medicine thrives is that we're really looking at a full picture of what's going on in the body. We're not just saying, oh, you have a gut issue, just start on the standard protocol. And granted, there might be some people who do that and they feel amazing and that's great. But it's been my experience that when people just try generic things that they see online, that's maybe like a standard protocol for XYZ issue, they don't tend to see the results they want, or they tend to get a little worse in the process. And so, yeah, like talking about binders, like those are incredibly important if you're going to detox. I use, a detox company that has, a combination of herbs and binders, and there's certain binders that only target certain organs and some that go really systemic and some that only target the gut, because that's a really important part of the healing process is you don't want to just start killing off a bunch of systemic parasites if you don't really heal those drainage organs first. So I always, in the process of healing someone's gut, say they have leaky gut and they've also got, fungal overgrowth and parasites, I want to remove the parasites from the gut only first. I'm not going to go after systemic ones to help heal that gut lining and then use some herbs and, some binders to help heal that up before going after, maybe liver flukes, which are a type of parasite, or systemic, parasites that might be in the body. And so there's a certain order that's really important. And I don't like generic protocols. I feel like if you do generic protocols, you're going to get generic results. And so some people might get amazing results. A lot of people might not notice anything, or they might get worse. And so that's generally what I've seen. And so for me, when I see someone with constipation, for example, who comes into my practice, if you line up all the people I've worked with who have constipation, they all had completely different care plans. Like there were some similarities because they came to me for gut issues, but somebody who has, a lot of symptoms of parasites might actually have something different. Like they might have mold toxicity, or they might have really bad gallbladder dysfunction. And if you're, that's also another thing is if you're targeting the wrong infection, then you're not going to notice any difference. So, a lot of people say like, oh, everyone needs a parasite cleanse. Well, what if you have mold toxins? Or what if you have heavy metals in your body? Or what if you just have really bad liver function and you just need to improve that? And it's not actually parasites that are the problem. So I think that's kind of the benefit of an individualized approach versus a standardized one.
Thank you. Tell me about systemic. Did you say systemic parasites? What do you mean by that? Like, are parasites not only in the gut? They are in other parts of the body? And if so, what
No, they
parts?
can, they can embed anywhere in your body. Like there's even been multiple case studies of people going in for, tumor removal surgeries, like in the liver and the brain, and it ended up being worms, like actual parasite larva that was encapsulated in something that looked like a tumor. So there's been multiple cases of that in the brain and the liver. There's some parasites that can embed in your muscle tissue. There's some that can embed in your lung tissue. So when I talk about systemic parasites, I mean anything outside of those three drainage organs, outside of the gut, gallbladder, and liver, because we got to, open those up first and get your body able to get toxins out. Systemic is anything beyond that, like any parasite that's going to be in, the brain or the kidneys or the lungs or muscle tissue, joints, things like that. So that's what I mean by systemic. So there's a certain order of healing that really helps people detox safely without getting those reactions.
Thank you. So why would you get rid of parasites in the gut, for example, first before getting rid of the systemic ones?
Well, that's the number one way that waste and toxins get out of your body is through bowel movements. And so having normal, healthy, 2 to 3 times a day bowel movements is really important for getting not only toxins that your body's exposed to, but also waste products that your cells produce on a daily basis out of your system. And so if you don't open it up, like think about it as, in order for me to get toxins out of my body, yes, you can use detoxing, but there has to be a way for them to get out once they're stirred up from the system. So think about it as, you know, like a clogged toilet. If you walk into a public restroom and you see a clogged toilet, you're not going to be like, you know what, I think I'm going to use it anyways and hope for the best. No, you're going to go to the other toilet that's not clogged and use that one. So it's kind of like this system in your body of we have to unclog those drainage pathways and get them flowing and get them able to safely get toxins out before we start releasing a bunch of toxins by killing off parasites or removing heavy metals or, you know, whatever you're going after.
Thank you. How do parasites end up in the brain and other areas?
I don't know the exact mechanism. There's just certain parasites that target certain tissues and organs in the body. But we get a lot of parasite exposure from food and water. And then you can also actually pass parasites from mother to fetus. There's, you know, five different parasites that can actually cross the placenta into, you know, an unborn baby, which is kind of crazy. So that's why I always tell people, if you want to get pregnant, you know, definitely check and detox before that, just so you don't risk kind of passing that off to your kid.
How do you know whether you have a systemic parasite in the brain or some other organ?
I mean, they're incidental findings. The thing about parasites is they're really, really tough to pick up on in testing. So most stool tests will show false negatives, where basically it'll say, oh, we didn't find any parasites, so you don't have a parasite infection. And then there's, you know, other tests people use, like you might be able to see, you know, certain elevated things on blood work that can show you that, but it's not very common. So they're really tough to find. Those ones that were in the brain and the liver, those were incidental findings from people who thought they had cancer. And it turned out like, oh, you don't have cancer. You just had a worm that ate away part of your organ, which is kind of crazy. And there were several case studies of that. There's even this woman who had parasites in her eyes. And, you know, there's all sorts of crazy stuff, but they're really hard to pick up on testing. So there's no way they would know. They're usually incidental findings. And so when you are detoxing, it's just this, just knowing the concept of, okay, I've got to go after gut parasites first, then liver ones, and then systemic, just to make it a safe pathway for detoxing for this person. So we can open up drainage first before going after this.
Thank you. So for those people that have parasites in the brain, does the brain recover or once you remove the parasites?
I don't know. They didn't really have any information on like the post-op, you know, part of that case study that I read. But I mean, the brain is really resilient. I saw typically people would say no, if they have to remove part of your brain, it won't grow back. But I've seen like MRIs on, there was only one patient who I had worked with when I first started in practice who had a huge tumor that was the size of about an avocado, like half an avocado in her brain. She had to get part of her frontal lobe removed. And they did an MRI or a CT scan a couple years later. And it actually showed that the brain just kind of grew back into the place, which was kind of crazy. I didn't know that was possible, but it filled out the space, which is kind of wild. So, but typically, no, you don't really get those cells back. That was just one person I saw that in.
Thank you. So is there like a standard protocol that you would say you follow with most people once you discover that they do have parasites? Would you say anyhow, most people have parasites, right? Like 99% of people?
I wouldn't say 99. For people I work with, I mean, obviously I work with gut health, so I see them a lot more frequently because most parasites do end up in the gut. Probably 75% of people, I would say. I would say most people probably have them. They might just not have them to an extent where it's affecting their health. And so for me, like I had a massive parasite infection that really was like debilitated my health, and I had severe gut issues, and it was really just getting to the root cause of that parasite infection that healed all my gut issues. But I had other stuff going on too. And so this is where it gets kind of tricky with, you know, well, how do you get rid of parasites? Well, if that's the only infection that's going on, you know, I'm obviously going to heal up the gut lining first if they have leaky gut. And then I really like using mimosa pudica seed and humic and fulvic acid, which are binders, to really get those gut parasites out, like ropeworms, roundworms. And then for systemic, you usually use like an herbal tincture, usually has, you know, like black walnut hull, wormwood, you know, things like that. I know a lot of people say you can eat papaya seeds, and, you know, there's all sorts of like natural ways to do it with food. But I feel like the binders and the herbs work a lot better in my experience, especially mimosa pudica seed. That's when people will see giant ones come out of their intestines. Like I had a 3-foot one come out that was really big from doing mimosa pudica seed. But I spent a month healing my drainage organs, you know, healing the leaky gut, getting the gallbladder functioning better before I went after those gut parasites. So it really depends on the person. And you also have to consider co-infections. You know, yes, you might have parasites, but you might also have mold toxicity and fungal overgrowth, or you might have a lot of toxins like heavy metals in your body or environmental toxins, environmental chemicals that are, you know, inhibiting your immune system's ability to naturally get rid of these parasites. And so that's something you have to consider too, is testing is really important, because I not only want to know how to get rid of the parasites, I want to know what else is damaging your immune system and keeping them constantly multiplying in your body. Because you should get to the point where your immune system functions well enough to be able to kill off the parasites without them actually replicating in your body. And so that's really what I look at. And so for me, yes, I had parasites, but I also had mold. I also had fungus. I also had leaky gut. I also had gallbladder dysfunction. And so that's where the individualized approach really kind of takes hold. But that's how I start is, you know, I love mimosa pudica seed and, you know, humic and fulvic acid for gut parasites. And then some herbs to really heal up the gut lining is really important. And then things like tugka or ox bile or something like that to support gallbladder function, liver function, you know, milk thistle, things of that nature. And then I go after those systemic parasites with that herbal tincture.
Thank you. So would you say for most people, do you suggest they take binders first to prepare? Or let's say for someone that has the same stuff that you used to have, do you get them to take binders first, or is there like a different protocol?
Yeah, I mean, I always focus on opening up drainage pathways in the first month. So yeah, that includes like putting them on a binder that only targets the gut. So again, I'm not going to put someone on a systemic binder that could start grabbing toxins out of everywhere in their body. We want to start safely by getting some binders that really target gut function. So I start with them with that. And then, you know, as we move through the detox process, you get, you know, stronger and stronger binders that can go systemic and get that stuff out of your system. But yeah, like you always want to start someone with a binder, because as you're healing up the gut, you want to start pulling out some toxins in the gut lining that are causing it to be inflamed. So that is a really important part of the parasite detox for sure.
Thank you. For those people that have metals in their body, what kind of protocol do you follow?
Well, again, it depends on the person. So it's really an individualized approach for everyone. But it's really just the same concept that we already talked about of, you know, let's remove the toxins from the gut, then go a little more systemic, and then go for, you know, the ones that could potentially be in the brain. Because things like mold and heavy metals, they tend to attack the central nervous system. So brain, spinal cords, you see a lot of neurological issues with those kind of patients. So headaches, migraines, dizziness, things like that. But again, it's just the same approach of starting with binders that only target the gut to get some of those heavy metals out of there. And then I put them on a really strong one, usually in month 4 or 5 of the detox program, to really go after any systemic heavy metals that could have, you know, gone to brain or spinal cord, or more systemic than the gut and liver.
Thank you. So for those people that have a heavy metal issue that has affected their brain, once you do this detox, can they return to their original state, or is it that they will have a reduction in symptoms, but they will not fully heal?
I mean, I've seen a lot of people fully heal from that kind of stuff. Obviously, it depends on the person. You know, when you get people with, you know, full-blown autoimmune disease who've had it for 20 years, you're probably not going to get them to the point you reverse, but you can definitely help support a lot of their symptoms. So it really depends on the person, but I've seen a lot of people who, you know, had migraines for years, or headaches for years, or dizziness, or all these neurological symptoms completely go away once we remove those toxins that were affecting their nervous system. And again, it's the whole system, right? You know, like we're supporting the gut, we're supporting liver function, so our body's natural ability to detox properly, which is super important, because you don't want to be reliant on all these detox supplements for life. We want to get your body back to the point where it can actually do this stuff naturally and at a good, you know, 100% level instead of 40%, so that you're not building up those toxins over time. And so, yeah, that's probably a really important part of it.
Thank you. So would you say for most people, do parasites tend to like duplicate and kind of lead to massive infections if untreated?
Oh yeah. I mean, I remember reading a few years ago that there was one specific type of parasite that can lay, I think it was up to like 30,000 eggs per day or something crazy like that. So you imagine that being in your body for, you know, 10, 20 years. Like, I can't even imagine how many parasites would be roaming around in there, you know, after that. And for me, I'd had gut issues since I was a kid. So by the time I actually figured it out, you know, in my late 20s, early 30s, like I don't even know how long those parasites were in there, but it must have been a really long time because I had a lot of the standard symptoms of parasite infections from a really young age. But it's not to be freaked out and think that, okay, I can never eat fish again. I can never put my feet in the dirt. I might pick up a parasite. You guys, if your immune system functions well, and 80% of your immune system lives in the gut. So basically, if your gut functions well, you know, you're going to be able to fight off this stuff naturally. And the first line of defense is your digestive system, because a lot of this comes through food, right? You know, like undercooked pork, undercooked fish. If you have adequate stomach acid, if you have good gallbladder function, good liver function, you're going to be able to kill off those parasites, probably 99% of them, you know, just from that line of defense alone before they ever reach your intestines and become a problem. But it's when those organ systems break down and they stop functioning at 100%, now they're doing like 50% or 40%, that's when it becomes a problem. And so you should have a natural ability to be exposed to parasites, your immune system kills them off, gets rid of the waste products efficiently, but it's when those systems break down, that's when it becomes an issue. And so as you heal these organs and you bring them back online and you bring your immune system back online and your gut function back online, all of a sudden, it's not going to affect you the same way it would have before. So for example, I still eat sushi and I don't have parasites. I test myself like every year. I still haven't had parasites since I got rid of them, you know, years ago. So
that is really strange, isn't it? Because I think most people that eat sushi do have parasites, yes?
Well, your body should be able to, you know, kill them off and break them down efficiently and get them out of your body if you have a healthy, you know, robust immune system.
Thank you. How long did it take for you to heal all of your different conditions?
Well, it was a long journey because it started when I was 24. I actually went, you know, almost 2 weeks without a single bowel movement. I was extremely bloated. Got diagnosed with gastroparesis. All the doctor offered me was drugs or surgery. And I was like, I don't want to do either of those. I'm 24. I'm healthy, or I looked healthy. You know, I just wasn't healthy internally. But, you know, I went to a chiropractor who actually had a background in myofascial release and massage. He was a massage therapist before I went to chiropractic school. And he did some abdominal release in me. It was like organ manipulation, myofascial work, which is basically where you just release a lot of the tension in the abdomen. And I was able to have a, you know, like 5 bowel movements that night for the first time in 2 weeks. And I'd been on Miralax for 11 of those days. So that was the beginning of my journey, but it took me almost a decade to figure out I had parasites because I did a stool test. I believed it. It said, oh, you don't have parasites, you're good. And so I just believed for almost a decade that I didn't have them, but I was so restricted with my diet, couldn't eat gluten, couldn't eat dairy. And anytime I strayed off of my strict paleo diet, I would just feel terrible again. And so it really just culminated, you know, about 8-9 years after that, where I had a stressful life event that just threw everything into hyperdrive. And I just started getting worse symptoms than when I was 24. And, you know, I ended up with almost an autoimmune disease. I was on the verge of one where I was getting joint swelling for no reason, lots of pain all over my body, fatigue, all sorts of crazy issues besides the gut stuff. And that was when my friend was in town and she was a functional medicine doctor. And she's like, Kate, I'm like 99% sure you have parasites and some other stuff going on because this is not normal. Like, you're young, you're healthy, you shouldn't be having all these issues. And so she did testing, found parasites, found mold, found fungus, leaky gut, gallbladder dysfunction. I mean, I was a mess. And so it was from that experience, you know, that I was able to heal. And it was 4 months into this detox that she put me on, a very individualized one based on testing, based on symptoms, that I felt 100% better. I mean, I felt so good. Like a brand new person. And I lost all this weight that I realized was inflammation. It wasn't actually like fat building up in my body. I was so inflamed from all this stuff going on. My energy was back. My sleep was great. I was going to the bathroom like 2-3 times a day, which I hadn't done since I was like a little kid. And so it was just life changing. And ever since then, I just, you know, I've helped hundreds of people, you know, overcome the same thing. And it was really just doing that deeper testing and that deeper work instead of just a quick fix, you know, like a quick 2-week cleanse or month detox. It's like, yeah, you might feel a little bit better, but it's probably not going to fix the issue. So I went on like a really intensive detox plan with her for 9 or 10 months. But I was feeling 100% better after 4 months. So once I figured out the problem, I actually healed really quickly, but it was about a 10-year journey to get to that point.
Thank you. What would you say causes constipation for people?
Some of the biggest things I see with people are you know, if SIBO, if you've heard of that, it just means an overgrowth of, you know, bad bacteria in your upper intestines or your small intestines. So SIBO is a big cause of constipation, which is usually the underlying issue for SIBO, because I dealt with that, you know, for years, is usually some other co-infection like parasites or mold or something that's, you know, basically destroying a lot of the good bacteria in your gut and allowing those bad bacteria to start overgrowing and creating issues. So usually once you clear out those co-infections like parasites and fungus and mold, typically the SIBO kind of balances itself out and you can restore that good, you know, microbiome back to normal. And then another big one is gallbladder dysfunction, which is really hard to get proper testing on because most doctors won't order a HIDA scan unless you have a gallbladder attack or, you know, some crazy pain going on. And that's the one thing that can show you how well your gallbladder is functioning. And then there's also, you know, blood work. There's an enzyme called GGT that's a really good one to look at for gallbladder function. But a sluggish gallbladder is typically one of the biggest things I see with constipation. That was one of my issues as well. You know, I had really bad gallbladder dysfunction. And then the other one would definitely be chronic infections, especially fungal overgrowth like candida or parasite infections, because parasites, they also release a bunch of toxins into your intestines that actually paralyze those muscles around the intestinal wall that actually create that peristalsis motion that gets fecal matter out of your body into the toilet. And so if you have a lot of parasites in your system, they'll actually cause that peristalsis to stop or slow down significantly. And now you can't get waste out of your body and you end up with constipation. So those are probably the top three that I see.
Thank you. What are the biggest causes of candida?
I think some of the biggest ones, definitely antibiotic overuse is a huge one, because a lot of people don't realize that candida already lives in your gut. It's when it overgrows that it becomes a problem. But candida naturally lives in your gut. It helps a lot with digestion. It has some other functions in the body as well. And it's when you kill off a lot of that good bacteria in your gut, like there's this economy of, you know, yeast and bacteria in your gut that help with digestion, with, you know, nutrient production, nutrient absorption, hormone regulation. And when that balance becomes out of whack, now all of a sudden things can become opportunistic like candida, and they can start overgrowing and taking over areas in the gut that they're not supposed to be in. And so antibiotic use, overuse is a huge one, because anytime you take antibiotics, yes, you're killing off the bacteria that's, you know, creating the symptoms, but you're also wiping out a lot of the good bacteria as well. So just a pro tip, if you ever have to go on antibiotics, make sure you're always on a probiotic while you're on the antibiotics, because it's going to help replenish that good bacteria in your gut. And then another one, I know chronic birth control use can definitely create candida overgrowth as well. And then just lots of exposure to toxins and pesticides and all this, you know, the garbage in our food. Like our food quality in America is just so toxic compared to other parts of the world, like Europe. You know, I have so many patients who fly to Europe for 2 weeks and they can eat whatever they want. And then as soon as they come back to the States, they get bloated right again, you know, right away, as soon as they eat bread or dairy or something like that. And it's because we have so many unregulated chemicals in our food that really wreaks havoc on our gut lining and our bacteria in our gut.
Thank you. How can someone get rid of candida overgrowth?
That's a tough one. But again, it's really looking at the full picture. You know, you've got to get rid of any other co-infection like parasites or any other toxins that are constantly causing inflammation and damage, like heavy metals, chemicals, pesticides, you know, all that stuff with good binders. That's a great way to remove those. And then you've got to restore, you know, that microbiome. And so a lot of times just removing those infections and toxins allows the microbiome to go back to normal and people's gut issues completely go away. And then I'm like, okay, well, we need to support the microbiome with good quality probiotics. The best way to do that is natural foods like sauerkraut, kefir, if you can handle dairy, kimchi, you know, kombucha, good quality kombucha, not all brands in the stores are created equal. And so, you know, things like that of just this natural fermented product, that's really going to help restore and replenish that good bacteria in your gut. And then eating seasonal, you know, vegetables and fruits. That's a really great way to just replenish that bacteria as well, because we need to eat fruits and veggies that are in season to not only get the nutrient density from them, but to also help feed all these different types of bacteria in our gut. So variety is really important in your diet. But yeah, those are probably some of the top ways I would say, but there is no one protocol. And I wish there was like a simple fix of like, yeah, just take this one supplement and all your candida issues will go away. But unfortunately, you know, when you're truly healing at the root cause, there's not going to be a standard protocol that's really going to help most people. It really depends on what is going on in your body. And that's why testing is so important, to get a full picture so you know exactly what you're targeting and you're not just detoxing blindly.
Thank you. How does mold end up in your body? Is it from eating moldy cheese or living in a moldy environment? Or like, what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think mold exposure, well, people are going to not like me for saying this, but, you know, don't kill the messenger. This is just what research does. But the two highest food products that have the most mold in them are peanut butter and coffee. So I know everyone pretty much drinks coffee every day, and a lot of people love peanut butter. But you guys, you've got to be really careful. If you have some of the symptoms of mold, like chronic sinus congestion or sinus dripping or headaches or itchy or dry eyes, skin issues, things like that, a lot of those can be mold related symptoms. I've even seen people have mold toxicity so badly that they're on disability because they just can't function. And it's really bad. Like when you get to the severe cases where people have, you know, such bad dizziness that they can't even, you know, sit upright most of the day. It can be really serious for a lot of people. But again, if your body's healthy, if you support your immune system, you support your gut, and everything's functioning the way it shouldn't affect you that way. For example, after my detox, like a year and a half later, I was exposed to a bunch of black mold in my apartment in San Diego. And all I had was slight sniffles and some itchy dry eyes. But some people get completely wrecked from it because they don't support their internal health. But because I'd already gotten rid of all those infections, it didn't affect me as much as it would somebody who's maybe a little bit compromised, if that makes sense. So those are the two top food sources. So if you're someone who drinks coffee every day, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you get organic beans and then try to look for a brand that tests for mold. I know Purity Coffee tests for mold. They're really good about that. So I usually recommend that one to my patients. But I get like organic local espresso beans here in San Diego. They're a big, big coffee city. So there's a lot of good choices for us out here. But yeah, those are two common exposures. But again, it's really a reflection of how your immune system's functioning, because one person might become disabled from mold and somebody else, you know, who's already healed themselves and is, you know, taking care of themselves daily might just get the sniffles and not really be affected by it. So it really kind of depends on the person.
Thank you. Does eating garlic every day help to get rid of parasites or no?
I think a lot of the generic advice of like eat this or take that to get rid of this is, you know, it might help. I don't know. I mean, I know garlic is very, very good for your immune system in general. You just might have some not so pleasant side effects from it, like, you know, lots of burping and garlic breath and that kind of thing. So I love cooking with garlic because I think it's so good for just your, you know, your internal health. It's definitely one of those foods that's good to incorporate with your cooking. But I don't necessarily think that eating garlic every day would, you know, prevent any parasitic growth. But I don't know. I don't know if anyone's done any studies on that. It'd be interesting.
Thank you. What else would you say is important for someone to reduce inflammation, for example?
Well, it depends on what's causing the inflammation. So again, it really is dependent on the person. Obviously the most common things that I see are chronic infections and toxins in the body that are driving those inflammatory pathways. But the best thing you can do just to start right away is if you just get off all processed food and you just start eating whole foods where the only ingredient is the food that you're about to cook, then you're going to be on the right track to, you know, lowering inflammation in your body. And then just swapping out toxic products for cleaner ones, you know, like your deodorant, your makeup, your hair products, your skincare, you know, all that stuff can become incredibly toxic for you, especially as women. You know, we put so many products in our hair and on our skin and on our face, and we don't realize that our skin absorbs everything we put on it. And so you do that for, you know, years or decades, and you're just absorbing all these chemicals into your system that can just slowly start damaging these organs that are supposed to naturally remove toxins and waste products from your body. So that would be a great place to start. And then there's a lot of research around grounding. You know, if you ground for like 10 to 20 minutes a day, it can greatly reduce inflammation in your body. And there's a good documentary done on it a while back. I think it was called Earthing or Grounding, something like that. But they showed these studies of, you know, grounding someone's bed while they inflammation reduced by 70 to 80% by the next morning, which was kind of wild. So there's some pretty cool studies on that as well.
Wow. Are there any other hacks or gadgets or tools or techniques someone can leverage to optimize their gut health or reduce inflammation aside from everything you talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a big missing piece that a lot of people don't focus on is downregulating the nervous system or reducing stress. So if you look at research, chronic stress over a long period of time has been shown to create what's called leaky gut, you know, where that gut lining becomes so inflamed that it breaks down. And now you get a lot of stuff intermingling with your blood that's not supposed to be there, like toxins and infections and large food particles that trigger those food sensitivities like bread and dairy. And so a big thing that you have to keep in mind is that if you really want to heal up leaky gut, you cannot ignore the stress component, because life is going to be stressful. There's no way we can control every aspect of our environment to not have, you know, crazy things happen like deaths in the family or accidents or things like that. But it's your ability to manage that stress in the moment that really determines whether or not it's going to affect your health negatively. So basically, stress has been shown to create leaky gut. So simple things you can do. And then also one other point before I get to that, stress in your immune system function like a seesaw. If stress goes up, your immune system goes way down. So if we're talking about your ability to fight off mold and to fight off parasites naturally without needing all this stuff that I've been talking about, you've got to get that stress to go down so your immune system can come back online. So it's a huge part of the puzzle in healing people. And simple ways you can do that, grounding, you know, going to watch the sunrise or the sunset, being in nature. People take this stuff for granted because it's free. And it's, you know, it's not like the sexy biohacks of like red light and cold plunge and infrared sauna and all this stuff. But it's so simple, like some of the daily things that we do that we take for granted that are just so simple and have such a profound effect over a long period of time. But yeah, things like breathing, breath work, grounding, even journaling, meditation, prayer, you know, so many different things, like whatever helps regulate your nervous system, even adults doing like coloring books and things like that, which I know sounds silly, but it's like so relaxing for a lot of people. Anything you can do to help regulate the nervous system, the easiest thing to start with is breath work. It is so simple, takes like 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes, you know, however long you want to do it. But a simple one to start with, because it's been shown in research that if you focus on exhalation breathing, it actually helps expand your blood vessels more to deliver more oxygen, deliver more, you know, nutrients and blood flow to your brain and the rest of your body to help with healing, to lower blood pressure, to lower, you know, stress in the body, to put you in that rest and digest state instead of the fight or flight. But if you do box breathing, where you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4, breathe out for 8 seconds. So we're breathing out twice as long as we breathe in, and then hold for 4. And you just do that box breath for about 3 to 5 minutes every single day. That is probably the best way to just get out of that fight or flight system and bring you back down into that rest and digest, which is super important for gut health because we need to be able to digest. So we got to be in that, you know, that state of relaxation.
Thank you. How long does it take for someone to heal leaky gut? And are there any supplements someone can take to facilitate that?
Yeah, so it depends on what's causing it, because if you have a lot of chronic infections, it'll take a long time to heal. And this is what I have to tell my patients is, even though all your symptoms are gone, you still have leaky gut. We still got some work to do, but I'm glad your symptoms are gone. For me, leaky gut kept showing up on my testing, you know, even 6 months after I was done detoxing. So I really had to do a lot of work with, you know, bone broth. Like drinking bone broth is a great way to repair the gut. You know, you can take gut healing herbs like aloe and L-glutamine and things like that. But the problem is, if you don't remove those infections first, it's going to be really hard to fully heal that leaky gut if that's what's causing it in the first place. So if you have parasites, if you have fungus, if you have even toxins in the body that are damaging the gut lining, and you're just adding in all these supplements and nutrients, but you're not actually getting rid of the source that's causing the damage in the first place, it's just kind of like spraying a fire with a water gun and kind of hoping that it goes out eventually. And so it's really, really important that, you know, we look at this stuff because it does have such a huge effect. And most of the people I see, they've already tried diet, they've already tried supplements, nothing was working. And we find a ton of, you know, infections and toxins on testing. And I'm like, well, there you go. That's why those supplements didn't work. But if you're someone who, you know, just wants to maintain your health, then those are, you know, a great place to start. Is bone broth is probably one of the most healing, you know, natural things you can do to heal up that gut lining. And yeah, just keeping, you know, regulating your nervous system, keeping that low. And yeah. I think that was pretty much it.
Thank you. For those people that have parasites in their eyes, what can they do to support the healing?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to, like, that was an incidental finding of that one study I found, but it's the same thing we've been talking about the whole podcast, of just an individualized approach of like starting at the bottom, healing gut, gallbladder, liver, then going after systemic parasites. But yeah, I mean, the only way you'd know if you had a parasite in your eye is if, you know, it showed up on, incidentally on some sort of testing.
Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to share about this?
I think we covered all of it, but I think just one last thing, because it's so important, because I know a lot of people, you know, have been struggling with health for a really, really long time. And just know, if you haven't found an answer yet, it doesn't mean you're stuck this way. So please don't ever, I don't care how many doctors you've been to, don't ever believe them when they say, oh, there's nothing we can do, you're stuck this way. I've heard that so many times in my life, and I've fixed every single problem. And so just know, like, just because you haven't met a doctor who doesn't know how to fix your problem doesn't mean you won't ever meet one. And so just keep looking, don't lose hope. Just know that there is a solution out there for you. You're not stuck this way, and healing is absolutely possible.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs and people worldwide can connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to connect with me, I've got a ton of content on Instagram. So it's at Dr. Kate Davis. So DrKateDavis. So it's just at Dr. Kate Davis. If you just go follow me on Instagram, I've got hundreds of videos on there on, you know, all the stuff we talked about, going in more detail, you know, like what leaky gut is, how you can support it. And then just get you started on the healing process, like just simple things you can start on a daily basis. So go check me out there on Instagram. And then if you're someone who, you know, maybe related to a lot of what we were talking about, and you've been struggling for years, wondering if you could even, you know, sounding like going to the bathroom every day would be a dream for you, or, you know, being able to eat whatever you want and not feeling extremely bloated afterwards. If you send me a DM on Instagram with the number 100, I'll actually give you $100 off an initial consult plus a labs package to work with me. So we can look at exactly what's going on in your body, you know, what organs aren't functioning, what infections and toxins are in your body, what nutrient deficiencies, and then put you on an individualized care plan to get your gut health back on track. So if that's you, just DM me 100 on Instagram. And again, that's at Dr. Kate Davis. And I also have a website, which I'm sure you'll have in the show notes, and then a podcast called Unconventional Medicine. So if you want to learn more about, you know, holistic health and functional medicine, that'd be a good place to start.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrasco shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.